Radio Prague News.
The Czech Foreign Ministry has advised Czech citizens against travelling to Egypt, in particular the Sinai Peninsula. The Czech government is planning an overhaul of the public sector, which would save state coffers billions of crowns. And Ombudsman Pavel Varvatovsky has warned against continuing discrimination of Romani children in the Czech education system. The Czech Foreign Ministry has advised Czech citizens against travelling to Egypt and in particular making individual trips to the Sinai Peninsula, citing a heightened threat of terrorist attacks. The ministry advises tourists who are already in Egypt to exercise extreme caution not to stray from their tour group and stay away from public rallies and protests. Travel agencies say their clients are in no danger, but they are ready to offer alternate holiday destinations. The Czech government is planning an overhaul of the public sector, which would save state coffers up to 12 billion crowns in 2014 and close to 25 billion the year after. Individual ministries have until mid-July to revise their expenses and say where money could be saved. A merging of ministerial agendas is not being ruled out. Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík has been commissioned with drafting a proposal for the respective changes by the autumn. Ombudsman Pavel Varvatovsky has warned against continuing discrimination of Romani children in the Czech education system. The ombudsman said that according to the results of a recent study, 32-35% of Romani children were studying at schools for children with learning, physical or mental disabilities, and that most of them were placed there undeservedly in order to spare regular schools the effort of helping them to integrate. The Czech Republic has received similar criticism from the European Commission and the European Court of Human Rights. The Social Democratic Party on Wednesday once again rejected the idea that the David Rath corruption case could be linked to shady party financing. In his address to the lower house on Tuesday, the former governor of Central Bohemia, MP David Rath, who is charged with corruption, slammed his party colleagues for distancing themselves from him and implied that the 7 million crowns he was caught red-handed with were finances for the party ahead of the autumn elections. Party leader Bohuslav Sobotka said on Wednesday that the party's financing was transparent and that all transactions were above board. He said the police had made no inquiries in this respect, nor had asked to look into the party's books. The non-profit humanitarian organization People in Need is celebrating its 20th anniversary. It was established in 1992 by a group of war reporters and foreign correspondents who were no longer satisfied with reporting on conflicts and natural disasters and began sending out aid instead. The organization, now one of the biggest of its kind in Central Europe, focused on providing aid to crisis areas and supporting adherence to human rights around the world. Czech public television has devoted a special day of programming to People in Need, showing photos and videos from the organization's projects, missions and fundraising campaigns, supported by tens of thousands of people. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be cloudy to overcast with rain in places and day temperatures hovering around 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Borůvka. Welcome to the program. In today's program, MP David Rath fails to convince the lower house of his innocence. An exhibition on the artist Josef Čapek opens in Prague, and in Marketplace, Jan Richter talks to the financial director of a Czech company which has successfully launched an operation in China. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The The Czech Parliament had not seen the like of it. A member of parliament held in police custody on corruption charges was escorted to the lower house where he tried to convince his fellow MPs of his innocence. Such was the scene that unfolded in the Czech Chamber of Deputies on Tuesday when MP David Rath accused everyone from the Interior Minister to the police and prosecutors for destroying his career. But Mr. Rath's speech failed to impress his colleagues, who handed him over for prosecution. Jan Richter reports.
It was perhaps the most closely watched parliament speech delivered in modern-day Czech politics. MP David Rath, arrested 3 weeks ago with 7 million crowns stuffed in a wine box, addressed the lower house in an attempt to clear himself of the corruption accusations. The police claimed that as central Bohemian governor, Mr. Rath overpriced a public procurement project and took the bribe as a reward. But David Rath told MPs his arrest was part of a plot orchestrated by his political enemies.
I accuse the government of intentionally destroying a member of the opposition. I accuse the government of applying selective justice, of abusing the police in political struggle. I accuse the government of using the pretext of fighting corruption to silence its critic. The government is unable to lead the country out of the crisis and tries to cover it up with this fabricated scandal.
It took David Rath, a former Social Democrat health minister, some 50 minutes to deliver his address, in which he rejected all accusations. He said the police failed to prove that the public procurement project was overpriced in the first place, and criticized the fact that he and seven other people were held in custody as if they were dangerous criminals. But Mr. Rath did not answer the one question that everybody asked: how he got the 7 million he was detained with, and from whom. Instead, the former prominent figure of the Social Democrat Party hinted the money was to be used in financing the party, which was so quick to distance itself from him after his arrest.
Did David Rath accept a bribe? I say he did not. When you look at the incomplete police file that was made available, you'll find mentions of money for the elections and financing the elections. Parts of the file have been leaked, and other parts will be leaked, so it's better I say this now, but I won't comment on it any further.
Social Democrat officials vehemently denied such a possibility. For their part, members of the government also rejected Mr. Rath's claims of politically motivated prosecution. In the end, out of the 191 MPs present, 183 voted in favor of Mr. Rath's prosecution. Two voted against, while six, including two Social Democrats, abstained. David Rath then returned to his cell in Litoměřice prison, where he will wait until he is formally brought to court. However, the question that remains is why the authorities made such an effort in investigating and prosecuting David Rath while dedicating much less resources to other blatant corruption cases, most notably those linked to the parties currently in power.
That was Jan Richter with that report. Thanks for that, Jan. And next up, if artist Josef Čapek is less known to non-Czechs than his younger brother Karel, the writer, that's all the more reason to visit the new exhibition dedicated to his life and work at the National Library. The show, which opens on Wednesday, commemorates the 125th birthday of this jack of all artistic trades and recalls the very different fortunes and pursuits of his professional life. Christian Farvi has the story.
People from anywhere in the world might know some of the fine artwork of Josef Čapek, the other international claim to fame being his suggestion of the word robot for his brother Karel's play R.U.R., which has surely entered every modern language. Czechs themselves meet this personality in childhood through his tales and illustrations of The Little Dog and the Kitty from 1929. But Josef Čapek, like his more illustrious brother, was truly an artistic Renaissance man, a graphic designer, scenographer, poet, and literary critic, among many other things, all presented in the new exhibit on display at the Clementinium in Prague. Gina Bohachkova of the Karel Čapek Memorial told me more.
We made an exhibition about the life and work of Josef Čapek, the important patron and personality who was to this time in the shadow of his brother Karel. He was not only painter, but also the writer, poet and philosopher. On 30 banners, we documented his artistic work and his life. The exhibition showed not only his youth, but also studies, the first writings with his brother Karel, pre-war avant-garde paintings, and the end of his life, his fights against fascism and totality, and his death in concentration camp.
He spent almost all of World War II in the concentration camp. He died just weeks before the end of the war. How is that part of his, that long part of his life, remembered in the exhibition?
Yes, it is remembered with two paintings he made in concentration camp Sachsenhausen, and then with the poems. And these poems was after Second World War published.
Čapek's poems written in the concentration camps are credited with having been of great comfort to his fellow prisoners, who copied them and shared them amongst themselves. He died in the Bergen-Belsen camp in April of 1945, in the days just before or after its liberation. His burial site is unknown, and so he was given one of only two symbolic gravestones in the Vyšehrad cemetery of notable Czechs. The exhibition at the Clementinium, however, deals also with the happier times of Josef Čapek's life, such as his work for children. It also includes many of the publications of the National Library on which he collaborated, either as a writer or an illustrator, and many of the monographs kept by the Karel Čapek Memorial Fund. The exhibition will be open until July 4th.
Thank you for that, Christian. And now it is time for our weekly feature, Marketplace. One of the Czech companies which successfully launched an operation in China is the machine tool producer DOS Varenstorf. In 2006, the firm invested some 2.5 million euro to form a joint venture company, DOS Kunming. In this edition of Marketplace, the firm's financial director Stanislav Linz talks about doing business in China, hiring Chinese employees, and how the Czech government supports Czech business in that country. Jan Richter sat down with Mr. Linz and first asked him how his company first set up its base in Kunming.
We approached one of the biggest industrial group in China, producing machine tool, which is sitting in north of China, north of Beijing, in Shenyang. But this group, one of the biggest groups, as I said, in China, recommended to us their daughter company, which is situated in Kunming. That's why we started our production in Kunming.
So how did the original decision to launch an operation in China, generally speaking, why did you go for that?
Well, even this 6-10 years ago, we decided in Wanzhou that we should go to China due to the fact that China, even on this years, 10 years ago, started to be very strong production base for the heavy industry. And our machines, they have special use in the heavy industry, in the production of vessels, motors, big cranes, and so on. Yeah. So that's why we decided to go to China, to be closer to our clients.
So how important is the Chinese part of your business to the mother company back in the Czech Republic? In other words, was the original investment of some 2.5 million euro, was it worth it?
Definitely. The investment was very good investment. I would say that's already paid up. And I would say that our part in China market, it's very important. We used to produce in Kunming around 25-30 machines per year, which is quite interesting. And for us, generally for TOS Varenstorf, the China becomes the third biggest market after Europe and after Russia.
How difficult was it to find a partner there? You said you approached one of the major Chinese metalworking chains. How difficult was the process?
Well, this group helped us a lot, definitely. We finalized the investment with their daughter company in Kunming. So it was perfect. And back after starting the production, they helped us also to sell the product in the Chinese market. It's very difficult for the investor to sell the product in China market directly. Definitely, basically, the Chinese, they want to buy from Chinese. Mm. They don't want to buy from us. So we must have the network of salesmen, sales companies. So basically, we use the existing network of sale offices in China of the mother company.
You said in one interview that a key factor in succeeding in China was the right choice of employees. How challenging is it to find the right employees for such a firm as yours?
It's very important. The right employees, they are the base, very, which is the pillar of the working in the company. Yeah? I would say that you must take care about both. It means about in our case the Czech employees and both the Chinese employees as well. It's very difficult to find a Czech employee which would be. Which could fulfill all the requirements. Yeah? It means the speaking Chinese, have the, some economy knowledges, some machinery knowledges, everything, to be accepted by the Chinese, to know Chinese philosophy a little bit, to know a little bit Chinese, maybe to know how to move inside. Yeah? Mm. It's more like diplomacy. Mm. It's very difficult to find such kind of people. Yeah? And also in the Chinese part, it's also very difficult. You should have the people which are reasonable, which can understand what you are talking about, and which they could understand what you want. Basically, they must want to understand. Some of the people, they don't want to understand.
So do you leave this part to your Chinese partner, or do you oversee the process as well?
Well, due to the fact that it's 50-50, it's one of the very, very important points in the company. And I would say that sometimes we have succeed to push our opinion. Sometimes we didn't succeed. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons why European and, you know, Western, basically, companies established their factories in China was, of course, the low cost of labor. But that seems to be changing. Is that becoming a problem for TuS Varnsdorf?
I would say no. You are right that the situation is changing very fast and a lot. The salaries in China is growing very, very fast, and you must follow this trend, otherwise you would be refused in the market, yeah, like some enemy or something like this, yeah. But from the other side, there is still the possibility, there is still room for some games, for some movement of salaries, for some other steps which can help you to make the profit. It means not all depends on the salaries. Yeah? So a lot of things depends on organization of the labor, organization of the work. So you can take from one side of the business and you can put it to other side. So it's, as I said before, it's the game, it's the policy, it's the diplomacy. Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you find dealing with communist authorities anyway? Czechoslovakia, of course, was a communist country. I suppose one of the reasons why you kept the Czech abbreviation TOS in the name of the company is to sort of highlight the tradition. But are they also aware of the political changes and that the Czechoslovakia or the Czech Republic today is no longer a communist country? How do they feel about that?
Yes, they still remind the Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia generally, not Czech Republic. Due to the fact that in early 50s, it means 1951-2003, the Czechoslovakia, former Czechoslovakia, offered some big help to China, speaking about the machinery. Czechoslovakia in this time sent some hundreds of machines to China. I don't know if it was paid or was some gift, I don't know. But from this time, the China remember the brand TOS, remember the other brands as well as Smeral and so on. Mm. So we are using still this like our recommendation from our fathers and grandfathers. Dealing in China with the state-owned companies, it's very difficult. But if you succeeded, you won a lot. Yeah. We have succeeded one big company, China Railways, and from 4 years ago we started to deliver to the factories owned by this huge big state company, and we succeed to sell, I don't know, 10, 15 machines per year, which is very good business.
Is corruption a big issue in China? It's on the Transparency International Corruption Perception Index. China is even lower than the Czech Republic, interestingly. Is that an issue in doing business in China?
Good question, but I don't know how to answer. I would say that, yes, corruption is over there also, but it is other type of corruption than in comparison with Czech Republic or Europe generally. The corruption is shared by a lot of people. It means not big deal is done by one man. They are sharing the money which they got.
Well, the Czech government emphasizes the need to direct Czech exports to other places outside the European Union, which now takes the bulk of Czech exports, of course. And TOS Varnsdorf is usually highlighted as one of the success models. How do you find the Czech government support in exporting your business and doing business in China?
Czech government doesn't support us at all. I would say maybe I have good support from Chinese embassy in China. Yes, the Czech people over there, they are helping us a lot. But speaking about the government, not at all, due to the fact that if I compare what Germany is doing, we have now June, I would say, or early June. And this year was two times already Ms. Merklova in China in official business visit together with Chinese, with German banks, German companies. From Czech Republic, I don't know who was there or not. We don't know it. Nobody is telling us. And I would say that the Czech Republic has just now the worst name from the former communist countries in China in all the countries.
Why do you think that is?
We are very active in supporting the Tibet. We are very active to recommend some things to them. If I compare it with United States, so they are basically every month is somebody from top level government in China, and they don't say nothing about these things basically. So they are very sensitive on this point, you know, and more, we are a very small country. They don't need us. We need them. And we are playing the role like big players, so we are not.
That was Stanislav Linz, the financial director of TOS Varnsdorf, who was talking to Jan Richter in this edition of Marketplace about doing business in China. And I'm afraid this brings us to the end of our regular weekday program, but of course we are rounding that off for you with ABC of Czech, brought to you this time by Jan Wellinger.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, where this season we are looking at vocabulary connected to Czech food and cuisine. I'm joined in the studio by
Martin Mikule,
and we'll be talking about Czech idioms related to food. Let's start with sayings about hunger.
Hlad.
If you are very hungry in Czech, that means being hungry like a wolf.
Mám hlad jako vlk.
If you're hungry, everything tastes 10 times better because
hlad je nejlepší kuchař.
Hunger is the best cook, or hunger is the best sauce, as the English saying goes. But one has to earn one's food because
bez práce nejsou koláče.
There aren't any cakes without labor, and there is no land in the world where
pečení holuby lítají do huby,
where roast pigeons would fly straight into your mouth. In my case, that's actually a good thing. Some people have to work very hard to earn their living, and Czechs call such jobs
tvrdý chléb,
hard bread, or
tvrdý chlebíček,
which means the same, but only uses the diminutive form of the word. Bread is such an important staple food that you can never become tired of it, and Czechs say
chléb se nikdy nepřejí.
One can never overeat on bread or have enough. Also, our ancestors knew very well that sharing good food is an important bonding experience in relationships. And that's why Czechs say
láska prochází žaludkem.
Love passes through the stomach. If your stomach can take anything, people can say you have
kachní žaludek,
the stomach of a duck. as ducks are believed to be able to digest almost anything at all. If, on the contrary, you are feeling queasy, you can say,
Mám žaludek jako na vodě.
My stomach feels like on water, meaning unstable and weak. And to end on a more positive note, a popular idiom says,
Jak k jídlu, tak k dílu.
Literally, as with food, so to work. It means that if you are a hearty eater, you should also work hard, and vice versa. And that's all we have time for today. But we'll be back again with more expressions related to Czech food and cuisine. Till then,
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That was Jan Wellinger with ABC of Czech wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. But of course, all of our programs are available at our internet address, radio.cz. And there you can not only discover what you've heard on the show today, but also list through a huge archive in both audio and text form. And there you can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. Also, you can contact us via email to english@radio.cz, on Facebook, where we have a profile under the name of Radio Prague. You can also find us on Twitter. And if all of that is too modern for you, you can, of course, always write us a letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. That's all from us for today. We'll talk to you again soon. But until then, from me, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.